Trinadapi sunichena, tarariva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama ibikivalam. Kalo nastiva, 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 gatir anyata. In this Krishna consciousness movement, in the path which we are following, there is a very important concept. That concept is called sense control. And it doesn't make sense unless the first lesson of transcendental knowledge is understood. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the first lesson of spiritual life. That lesson is, my identity, our identity, is not this body and not our minds. It is that we are eternal spirit soul. Unless that is thoroughly understood, or unless one is completely convinced, then the rest of the subject matters of Bhagavad Gita or transcendental knowledge is not going to click. As long as I'm thinking, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm a man, I'm a woman, if I think this is my identity, then understanding transcendental subject matters, as the Bhagavad Gita is the beginning, it's going to be very difficult. So this is why the first thing Krishna teaches Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, you're not your body. You're not your mind. You're the eternal soul. Now, I'd like to recite to you some very select shlokas or verses which will help us to understand the theme that I've been requested to present to you tonight. I'm going to be chanting the Sanskrit language. Rupanuga Das, a few weeks ago, sent out a notice of a petition that there seems to be some undertow. Probably is in India it's happening. They are saying, oh, this Sanskrit language is a dead language, right? That's what's the term. But actually, Sanskrit is the mother of all other languages. Many linguistic scholars will agree with that statement, not just necessarily Hindus, but many linguistic scholars around the world accept that, yes, the original language of this planet was Sanskrit. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that by chanting Sanskrit shlokas, it helps to build your character. It helps to elevate consciousness. So I've selected some very, very nice verses. Please listen, if you may. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is the summary gist of the entire Bhagavad Gita, we find this verse. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vashyaya vihed atma prasadam adigachtati. A person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control the senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So, who doesn't want the complete mercy of God? If you're here in this temple, I would assume you're here because you want the complete mercy of God. Otherwise, you'd be home watching television. But you have come here this evening. You would like to get the complete mercy of God. This verse of Bhagavad Gita, God is telling you how to get His complete mercy through regulative principles of freedom. As I was growing up, I'm a child of the 60s. I was a hippie. I was against the Vietnam War. I protested. I did everything I could to get out of having to go to the army and shoot and kill people. I was successful. So I was definitely a believer in freedom, free love. But when I came and met Srila Prabhupada and I started to hear him speak, I realized that the freedom I was seeking was a false and temporary freedom. Because I was still bound up by desires, and I was still in the grip of the stringent laws of material nature. But Srila Prabhupada and this ISKCON society was giving me a clue how to really become free. The famous speech of Dr. Martin Luther King, where he said, "I'm free at last." Unfortunately, he also was under the grip of the stringent laws of material nature. But Bhagavad Gita is actually teaching us how to really become eternally free. It is through regulative principles. We have this body and mind. Although we are spirit soul, right now we find ourselves in this particular body and we're dealing with our particular mind, each and every one of us. So there are regulative principles which help us to transcend, which help us to actually become free from the stringent laws of material nature. Those regulative principles of freedom consist of four major pillars. Envision a house with a roof. There are four main pillars which hold the roof up. Once you have that and your foundation, you can build your house. So there are four pillars of sinful life and four pillars of religious life. Religious life is the life which will eventually get you to complete freedom. Sinful life is the life that keeps you bound, keeps you a prisoner. What does it mean to be a prisoner? The mere fact that I have a body means I'm a prisoner. Because the freedom, the real existence, is in the kingdom of God. That's where you have complete, real freedom, eternal freedom, in the kingdom of God. Not here. This existence, whether it be Laguna, whether it be Baghdad, wherever, any place in this material world, it's an imprisonment. And that imprisonment is because of sinful life. If you're completely freed from sin, then you're liberated. You're really free. So what are those four pillars of sinful life, which under that roof all kinds of sin are housed? Animal slaughter. That's the first pillar. Animal slaughter. The second one, intoxication. The third one, illicit sex. And the last one, gambling. Now, not very far away, there is the capital city of these four sins. They even call themselves Sin City. And they're very proud of it. In fact, they plan vacations. Oh, we have 3 days. Let's go to Sin City. So it's not that I'm making this up. They say themselves, the residents of Las Vegas. They themselves. I remember about 8 years ago visiting. I was there on a preaching mission, and I was feeling very, very strange, like a fish out of water. Because of these four sinful activities, they are very rampant. It permeates the entire atmosphere. There are four pillars of religious life, the regulative principles of freedom, which counteract these four sinful pillars. What are they? Truthfulness. If you are going to be a free, liberated person, then you need to practice the vow of truthfulness with yourself, with others. Be true to yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Be who you are. I'm the eternal servant of God. That's what I am. I'm not anything more. I'm not anything less. I'm simply the eternal servant of God. Let me be true to that. And let not anybody try to tell me I'm something else. No. I'm simply the insignificant eternal servant of God. And I'm happy with that. Truthfulness. And then truthful with others. Not being duplicitous like politicians. Right? Politicians, they speak like this. To this, they say one thing. To this, something else. And then tomorrow, they say something else. So I must be truthful with myself and with others. Next one, cleanliness. My mother, my first guru was my mother. She would always say, cleanliness is next to godliness. Almost every day. When I heard Srila Prabhupada say the same thing, I said, wait, my mother used to say that. So I guess it must be true. There's two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness, we should wear clean clothes every day. Our homes, our work areas, our cars. We should be clean. In fact, Prabhupada used to chastise us, his disciples, revolutionarily clean. Then there's internal cleanliness. Internal cleanliness means you're not thinking of sinful activities and you're remembering God's name, fame, form, pastimes, instructions. As long as you are remembering God, you are internally clean. But when we forget, then the dirtiness comes in. Then another item, austerity. It is not, and we're going to hear more about that in the subsequent verses. Austerity means you deny yourself pleasures in order to achieve a higher goal. That's like students, young students. In order to improve, you have to spend time studying. That means certain time you turn off the video games, you turn off the TV, and you spend time studying. Say you want going to be an athlete. My grandson, he is becoming an Olympic swimmer. He swims a few hours in the morning every day, a couple of hours in the evening every day. My favorite example, the person known as Kobe Bryant. He's paid millions of dollars to do what? Yeah. And it's a fact that he spends hours every day practicing. Hours. Besides the game, he's in the gym. It's called repetitions, reps. And for that, he's paid millions of dollars and they chant his name. But the point is, he must do austerity. I'm sure you've all heard the expression, no pain, no gain. Yes. So the principle of austerity is what allows you to get to the next level, the higher stage. And then the last item, mercy. That's why we don't kill animals just because we want to eat the flesh. It's out of mercy. We are supposed to be civilized human beings, not cannibals. We are supposed to be cultured, advanced. So these four items signify a cultured human society. So regulative principles of freedom allows you to control the senses. In the Vedas, the senses, what senses? Your eyes, your ears, nose, tongue, and skin. These are the knowledge acquiring senses. They're compared to wild horses. A wild horse just wants to run. As a human being, our senses are like wild horses. Immediately, if a pretty girl walks into the room, immediately the eyes go. Every day I go for a walk, and there's a certain path, part of the walk. Very nice flower smell. There's a certain part in the walk. All of us, I always thought, oh, there's that smell. Very sweet right? It just captures your mind. Then there's the ears. There is a billion-dollar industry based on making attractive sound vibrations, music. Billion-dollar industry. How to make these sounds more and more attractive. And then, of course, taste, the tongue. More and more restaurants, more and more cookbooks, just to satisfy that sense of taste. Then there's the sense of touch. Nice clothes. Like to touch nice, soft clothes. So the senses, like wild animals, they're immediately attracted to the sense objects. Immediately. But the Bhagavad Gita is telling the senses should be under control. Don't let the wild horses drag you. If you are sitting on a chariot pulled by wild horses, your destination is unpredictable. It's bad enough we have one wild horse. We've got five. All right? So we're being drawn and pulled in so many directions. So if you have a chariot, the horses can only be controlled when there's a bridle and the reins. And you pull. Then the horse is controlled. You control a horse by its mouth. So the reins is the mind. The senses will be controlled when the mind is in control. When the mind has control over the senses. And just like the reins of a horse, somebody has to pull those reins. That's the intelligence. The intelligence is the one that pulls. So how do you get a strong mind, and from where do you get intelligence? That comes from Bhagavad Gita. Now, let's go a little further to the next verses. Are you with me so far? Do you like what's happening? If you're ready, say, Hari Bol. That was good. I like that. All right. Now we go to Srimad Bhagavatam. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here's a very famous verse early in Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular section where this verse is from is subtitled The Science of God. I love that term. Science of God. There are so many sciences. There's also a science of God. And that is taught in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kamesya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jigyasa narto yascheha karmavi. Life's desires should never be directed toward sense gratification. In other words, we already explained we have these senses. But I shouldn't make my life's goal simply to satisfy the dictations of my senses. That's what this verse is saying. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. In other words, Srimad Bhagavatam is not denying the senses, as some so-called transcendentalists want to teach. Some so-called transcendentalists say, oh, deny the senses. No. The senses are there. They should be used. They should be gratified, but that's not simply the goal of life. Healthy life, self-preservation. That's different. We used to have, Prabhupada had this phrase, simple living, high thinking. But most people in the world, simple thinking, high living. I think Laguna Beach would be a classic. And there are other places, I'm sure. So, simple living, high thinking means, yes, we have to meet the demands of the senses. It's all right. But do it in good proportion. But that should not just be the only aim of life. Your real aim of life, here it comes. A human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. That's the real objective of life in the human form. That's ultimately why you're here tonight. We are trying to pursue the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So yes, 99% of us, we have families, we're working in the real world. So yes, that's all right. But don't get caught up. My wife was telling me about somebody she knows that does litigation. She's a litigation secretary. 16-hour days work. No. Get your job, keep body and soul together, but the main objective of your life should be inquiry into the absolute truth. Not that the goal of life is I got to make more and more money. I used to work as a bookkeeper in Westwood for some years, 5-6 years. And I had a boss, and he knew that I was a Hare Krishna devotee. So, sure enough, at least once or twice a month, he would come into my cubicle. And he'd be lamenting, and he was telling me, he said, I'm making $90,000 a year. My wife is making $100,000 a year. There's no money in the bank. He would regularly cry like this. One day he walked in. He said, do you know what my wife just did? I said, no. She spent $1 million upgrading the kitchen. I was like, huh? Yes, they had a big house in Brentwood. Very funny, he had these two big dogs. Huge dogs. One time I had to go see him. And he would always say, you know, you Hindus, you don't eat cows. How foolish. And so I told him, really? I said, how would you like it if I came to your house, killed your two dogs and ate them? He said, I would kill you first. I said, just to like you, the way you love your dogs, we love cows. But you think he bought it? No. But at least, as far as I was concerned, I had an argument. So my point was, here he is working, 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 right? And he even admitted, he would admit, you know what? We were happier. He was talking about him and his wife. We were happier when we were living in Santa Monica in a one-bedroom apartment. He said that. So it was very interesting working in the real world. I could see the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam coming to life right before my very eyes. Experience after experience was like, wow, the Bhagavatam really is true. So, yes, you do what you have to do to maintain yourself, but that in itself is not the goal. The goal is inquiry into the absolute truth. Now we get to some more nice verses. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many incarnations or avatars of God. One of those is Rishabhdev. And once he was instructing his 100 sons, he was instructing them about the purpose of human life. Nayang deho deho bhajam nirloke, kashtan kaman arhate vidbujangye, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvang, shudye yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. My dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, that's everybody, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification. Same thing that we heard in the first canto verse. Same idea. Things need to be repeated until they are stuck and you're convinced. Sense gratification is available even for animals that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. Devotional service is spiritual activity. You're doing it right now. You're doing the first item of spiritual activity. It's called hearing. This is the benefit. You are accruing benefit right now just by listening to me. Because this is the first step. It all begins by hearing. Why do you think these radio talk show people, some of them get paid millions of dollars to spew their ideology? Why? Because they're trying to manipulate the minds of the mass of people so that they get such and such to become the next president of the United States. There's a whole propaganda machine, right? You pick whatever station, Fox Noise or this, whatever there. It's simply propaganda so that you will do their bidding. That's all. Hearing. So now this is the real hearing right now. Not because it's me, but because this is the absolute truth. This is the information you'll never hear on CNN, MSNBC. You won't hear this kind of stuff. Do you ever listen to anybody? Rush Limbaugh, you're not your body. Did he ever say that? I don't think so. But when you come here, then you begin to hear the absolute truth. So this is the first item of spiritual life. This is where it all begins. And please remember that if 10 years from now you find yourself somehow or other bewildered and you're trying to figure out what should I do, remember this. It all starts from hearing. So when you want to get back then you immediately start hearing about the absolute truth. And it doesn't take long. Once you start hearing, remembrance comes, and then from hearing comes action. Why am I here today? Because back in 1973, I heard Srila Prabhupada. And by hearing Srila Prabhupada over and over and over again, then I decided now I want to preach. And that hearing goes on even today. How I can keep doing this? Because I'm hearing. So always remember, everything starts from hearing. People sometimes ask me, how do I know who is my guru? I always say, that person who you always like to hear from, that's your guru. So if you're always hearing Lady Gaga, she's your guru. Whoever you're hearing from, that's your guru. So you should be very selective, because whatever you're hearing, that is going to manipulate your thinking, feeling, and ultimately your willing. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position. In other words, these spiritual activities, this is divine life. This is divine life. You see these pictures all over the temple. These are pictures of divine life. Here we see Lord Chaitanya dancing in the Ratha Yatra. Looks like he's very happy, doesn't it? That's divine life. Here is Lord Chaitanya holding the dead body of Haridas Thakur. Do you see anybody crying in that picture? No. They are singing and dancing. So even in death, it's blissfulness. Here we see the ultimate spiritual activity, the divine rasa dance of Krishna with Radha and the gopis. All these pictures are giving us glimpses of divine life. And this whole movement is inviting people, you can also participate in divine life. This is the real divine life mission. When one's heart is purified, one attains this position. And one attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Bhagavad Gita explains, yes, there's happiness in the mode of ignorance. There's happiness in the mode of passion. There's happiness in the mode of goodness. But these three are material, and therefore they will eventually come to an end. Take happiness in the mode of ignorance, intoxication. For a while you think you're king of heaven, and then after some time, you're back lower than you were before. Mode of ignorance, intoxication. When you're intoxicated, I am Napoleon, I am. And then you wake up, you're in some gutter. Mode of passion, work hard, come home, eat, drink, have sex. Great. Mode of goodness, knowledge, poetry, art, finer things. But then there's the spiritual state, transcendental happiness. What is transcendental happiness? There's a certain kind of mathematics graph. I don't remember the term. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. It keeps increasing, right? To infinity. What's it called? Yeah, geometric, right? So it comes to that point where it's just, that's spiritual life. Transcendental happiness is ever increasing. And you're getting a glimpse, you're getting a taste right now. This whole program of Krishna consciousness is giving us a taste of happiness. In fact, in the early days of this movement, when this movement was just starting in 1966-67, Prabhupada, his early disciples were hippies. So they were trying to ask Prabhupada, so what is this bliss in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, imagine a room full of LSD. He said, that's not even a drop. And so that clicked with them. Yeah. So they made a pamphlet because they asked Prabhupada, so if we take to this Krishna consciousness, can we stay high forever? Prabhupada says, yes. You won't come down from Krishna consciousness. So they made a pamphlet, stay high forever. Now, I have to say, there is definitely truth to that. I was a victim also of the same. So, how is it that I have not gone back to... How is it? Because, somehow or other, I've got a higher taste. I won't go back to that. Besides, that stuff's illegal. You can wind up arrested. So far, they don't arrest you for chanting Hare Krishna. But there's even a story. In Australia, the devotees were chanting with the drums and the bells on the street, and they did get arrested in the early 70s. So the devotees wrote to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you told us to go out on the street and chant. When now they put us in jail. What do we do now, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, what are you worried about? Chant in the jail. So they did that. And because they chanted in the jail, the police said, oh, get out of here. All right. I could go on for another hour, but that's all right. Do we have any questions? Anybody want to ask a question? Yes. So, you would like to come to the stage of no more sinful activities, yes? Is that what you said? Yes. So, cold turkey, do it. Just stop. What is preventing you from not doing it? Okay. So this requires an understanding. Obviously, there must be something about your present self that you would like to improve, yes? Otherwise, again, you wouldn't be here. So, I'm advising you, I'm encouraging you, as far as possible, stop. Now, the way to stop, the best defense is a good offense. So what I recommend, fill up your day as much as possible with hearing, chanting. Do you come to the temple regularly? Okay, try to come to the temple. Try to do some service for the temple. When you're not, do you have chanting beads? Good. Chant more. Yes, you should come to the stage where you realize that these sinful activities are hurting me. It's not a question of being true. It's a question of what's really for my best interest. It's actually hurting me. It's preventing me from experiencing the better thing. So I encourage you. You have some of the books at home? Spend more time reading. Reading these books will strengthen your mind. Come to the temple. Do you like prasadam? Eat. Eat prasadam. That's what got me. The only reason I joined this movement was because of the food. So, and before you leave, take one of my cards. If you ever have any problems, if you're feeling lost and confused, you can contact me either email or phone. I'm here to help you. Okay? May Krishna, let's bless her. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. Association with, we were hearing this last night. Association of devotees is the thing that is going to save you from this sinful life. So, associate more. Yes. Yes. So, white. Exactly. Without going through the origin of why that is, let's just deal with, okay, you're absolutely correct that God is calling, but then there is this other thing that's preventing me. And that is because there are two purposes for this material creation. Right now, you and me, we're at the crossroads. God does not interfere with our free will. So He allows us to enjoy this very attractive material world. And we can for some time feel happy and comfortable and think it's great. For instance, I'm originally from New York. So when you're from New York, you think, oh, there's nothing better than New York. But once you get out of New York, you realize, oh my God, New York's hellish. That took me over 30 years. So, yes, the material world is attractive because some of us want that. So, as I said, you're in the crossroads. Now you see, somehow or other, there is another reality. So, you have to click your heels 3 times and say, there's no place like home. There's no place. In other words, it's simply a matter of how much do you want it. And therefore, this movement is designed to help you want to go to the kingdom of God more and more. But we have to make the effort. That's because God doesn't interfere with our free will. But once we decide, I want it, God will help. You follow my point? So, if right now in your heart of hearts you say to Krishna, please help me, I want to get closer, something is going to happen, an opportunity is going to happen where you will have a chance to take that next step. You follow what I'm saying? So, it all comes to choice. You could have not come here tonight. You could have done something else. Somehow or other, you decided to come. So, after tonight, another something is going to happen. You'll have another opportunity to make a choice to get closer to God. And the more that happens, the more that happens, before you know it, Haribo, you'll be in one of these pictures. What do you think? Ah, good idea. Good. Does that answer your question? Anybody else have a question? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. So, the shlokas, first of all, let's look at Bhagavad Gita. It's the word of God. So when you are vibrating the words of God, you are directly associating with God. God is omnipotent. So he's non different from his name. The whole basis of our movement. Chant, why do we chant Hare Krishna, his name? Because his name is as good as him. His words, Bhagavad Gita, are non different from him. So you're getting purified by vibrating and hearing the sounds that he himself spoke 5,000 years ago. Now, in terms of intelligence, intelligence means it is the, according to the Bhagavatam, there is this gross body, but there's a subtle body covering the soul, mind, intelligence, ego, and consciousness. This subtle material body is actually one item known by four different features. So mind, what does the mind do? Accept, reject, like, dislike. The intelligence discriminates. That discriminating ability is strengthened when we have a spiritual master, the scriptures, and the association of other saintly persons. That strengthens the discriminating agency. Let's go back to you. If you spend their time associating with other people who want to commit sinful activities, you're going to get sucked in. But if you or any of us spend time with devotees, they are going to suck us in to the kirtan, to the prasad. So it's a question of who do you want to associate with? That's what it comes down to. And that's why I'm saying, try to spend as much time associating with spiritual things, devotees, spiritual books. Keep yourself immune from the attack of the illusory energy. Okay? Good enough? And I recommend, like me, I spend several hours a day studying these books. I have to, in order to do my preaching. But each and every one of us should be spending, I love this phrase, quality time with Krishna. You should spend quality time with your family. right? You should spend quality time every day with your Krishna in your heart. Spend quality time getting to know Krishna by reading his Bhagavad Gita. Get to know Krishna more by spending quality time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Spend quality time with Krishna, you will see, you will reap the benefits. One last question. Yes, sir. Hari Bol. Okay, I got the answer. You've come to the right guy. So, that was the part of her question I didn't want to get into, but you've asked it, so now I've got to get into it. Originally, we were in the kingdom of God. But we have free will. Somehow or other, for the life of me, I don't know. But somehow or other, you and me, we got it that I would like to know what it's like to be Krishna. I want to feel what it's like to be God. Immediately God says, not here. Because everybody else is happy to serve me. You want to be me? I have to create a playpen. It's called Laguna Beach. Go ahead, enter the material world, try to be me. Try to feel like me. Good luck. And when you're ready to come back, come on back. That's why we're here. So that's why I said to her, there are two purposes of this material creation. For those who want to imitate God, feel like what it's like to be God. What does that mean to be God? I'm the enjoyer. I'm the controller. And everybody should love me. That's what it means to be God. Whether it's President Obama, Kobe Bryant, your boss, whatever. Everybody's trying to be the controller, the enjoyer, and everybody should love me. Right? Now, the other purpose of the creation is the people who have woken up and realize, oh, you know what? This ain't never going to happen. I'm ready to come back. When you're ready to come back, God sends devotees. And the devotees are here to help. You want to come back? Come on. The devotees are the ultimate Red Cross. They're simply here to help others. Prabhupada said, I'm not interested in going back to Godhead alone. I want to take as many people with me as I can. That's why he created this movement. So, all of us should help each other. Group hug. All of us should help each other to go back to Godhead. All in favor, say Hari Bol.